don't we do this? Why don't we just have a word of prayer as we dive in this morning to our beginning of Advent? And let's ask God to be with us in his presence. And I'm praying that these will be divine moments, that this will be much more than people speaking. More importantly, I pray that it's the Holy Spirit speaking to people's hearts. Amen. That's what we desire. We believe in the Holy Spirit here at Journey Church. We believe the Holy Spirit speaks to people. And we believe those are the most important. Those are the most meaningful, powerful moments. And we just ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come and that you would do a work in our hearts. You do a work in our lives as we direct our focus on what you've already done, Jesus, when you came, but what you're also going to do in the future when you come back to get the church. Amen. And Lord, we just thank you. We just want to keep our focus on you. And Lord, we just ask that these would be special moments in this house. I pray there'll be special moments across even there's people in other states that are going to be reading this, these readings with us. Lord, I just pray that this would be just a powerful movement of people getting in alignment and seeking after you and desiring more of you. And Lord, we just thank you for this season. We celebrate you. You are everything to us. You are everything. And we just thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together, even in the sanctuary at home, everybody together said, amen. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, today is week one of our Advent sermon series, and we're calling this series Rediscover Christmas, and then the subtitle I love is Good News in Troubling Times. I mean, what a very relevant message for what we're going through this year, good news in troubling times. And hey, if you're new to Advent, I want to let you know you're joining me. This is the first year I've really celebrated Advent. And it's just not the home I grew up in, the culture I grew up in, but I think it's super, super wonderful. I think it's powerful. And if you don't know what Advent is, I just want to share with you real quick, what is Advent all about? And let's just look at this together. Advent is a season where we look back, so we're looking back in celebration at the hope that was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, while at the same time we're looking forward in hopeful anticipation to the coming of Christ when he returns for his people. So we're looking back at the coming of Jesus over 2,000 years ago, and we're looking forward to the day that Jesus Christ is going to come back for his people. How many people are excited for that, by the way? Okay, all right. Woo! Okay, he is coming back, okay? I just want to assure you that Jesus is coming back. And to kick off this Advent collection of talks, what I want to do this morning is I want to begin with a story that may surprise many of you, okay? And it's a story that takes place not before the birth of Jesus, but this is a story this morning that takes birth after the birth of Jesus. And the setting of the story, so we're all on the same page, the setting of the story is Mary and Joseph, they're taking baby Jesus into the temple in Jerusalem, okay? And they're taking Jesus there to present, to dedicate him to the Lord, as was required by the law. So Mary and Joseph, being great Jewish parents, are fulfilling the law by taking their baby Jesus to the temple for dedication. And here's the cool thing. As they're taking Jesus to the temple, they run into a guy named Simeon. Have you heard his name before? Simeon, who was also just happened to be there that day, okay? So you may ask, well, who is Simeon? Well, Luke, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, tells us who Simeon was. And he tells us that Simeon was a very righteous. He was a very devout man. And he's getting older in age. He's an elderly gentleman, okay? And really, at this point in his life, he's just holding on for one last big event in his life, one last big thing that he's looking forward to. And that is, he's looking forward to the coming of the Messiah who was going to come and who was going to rescue Israel, okay? And the reason why he's so confident at this moment is because, or the reason why he's so confident that this is going to happen is because the Holy Spirit had revealed to him. The Holy Spirit came to him and told him, hey, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah with your very own eyes. Can you imagine receiving such a promise? You're not going to die, Simeon, until you see the Messiah with your own eyes. And now I want to pick up the story in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to pick it up in chapter 2 today. And we're going to read about five verses beginning in verse 27. So if you want to follow along with me, Luke chapter 2, verses 27, and we'll read through verse 32. It says, that day, the Spirit led Simeon into the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. I mean, you talk about three powerful words. Simeon was there. And it says, and I think this is what happened. Let's jump out of the text a little. Here's what I think happened. I think the Holy Spirit spoke to him and he said, Simeon, remember that promise I made? This is the guy. This is the Messiah. And it says, Simeon was there. And look what he did. He took the child in his arms. He took baby Jesus in his arms and he praised God saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. Verse 30, I have seen your salvation. Are you catching the weight of what he's saying? In this baby, in baby Jesus, I have seen your plan. I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people, not just the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. This salvation is for everyone. Verse 32, he is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. How many people think that Simon might have got just a little excited when he took baby Jesus into his arms? How many people think maybe this older guy, he got some excitement back in his bones, he got excited when, wow, I'm holding the Messiah, I'm holding the promised one, he's right here in my arms. And see, here's what I was thinking this week as I was preparing this message. I was thinking a lot of things, but one of the thoughts that came across my mind is, I wonder how much time there was between receiving the promise or being given the promise and receiving the promise. I wonder what the gap of time was between when he first received the promise from the Holy Spirit until the day that he actually saw the promised one, the Messiah. I mean, how long was it between the receiving and the fulfillment of the promise? I thought about that this week. Was it days? Was it weeks? Was it months? Or was it even years? How long was that gap of time? And a lot of scholars believe that it wasn't days or weeks, but it was actually years from the time that he first received the promise to the time that the promise was fulfilled. And my second question to myself this week was, what is it that fueled him? What fueled him during this waiting period? What kind of kept him going forward, believing? What is it that fueled him from the time he received the promise to the time he fulfilled the promise? And here's what it is. I think this is the answer. This is what fueled him in that waiting, in that gap. And I think the word is hope. Can everybody say that word together? Everybody together, hope. Hope, what a beautiful word. Hope. So this is what we're going to do today. We're going to focus this first week of Advent. Our whole focus is going to be on hope. And I think it's really relevant because if there's such a time as this in history, 2020 is certainly a year when people are looking for hope. Because as one pastor says, he said, you could live days without food. You can go days without water. You could go a short time without breath. But I want to let you know, you can't live a moment without hope. Because hope is that important to our existence. So let's look at this hope. And here's what I'm going to do today in our journey is I'm going to address three questions to give us a better understanding of hope. Three questions we're going to look at today. Question number one is, why do we need hope? We're going to explain to you why we need hope. The second question we're going to look at today is, what exactly is hope? We need to make sure everybody's reading out of the same book because there's a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different ideas about hope, and some are right on and some are, to be honest with you, way out there in left field. And then the third question we're going to look at is, where do I get hope? I mean, I need it. Where do I get it? So let's take a look at this and let's begin our journey today with why do we need hope? Here we sit in 2020, the last Sunday of November. Why do I need hope? And I'm going to make it very, very simple for you. And I'm going to be very clear to you this morning. We need hope because how many people know life is made up of uncertainty? How many people know life is made up of difficulties? Life is made up of what I call curveballs. Meaning it's not always straight and predictable. There's going to be times when there's curveballs. There's just things that happen in our lives that weren't predictable. And that's why Jesus, look what Jesus said. If you don't believe me, believe Jesus. Jesus says these words in John 16:33. Here's a promise that Jesus gives to us. He says, here on earth, you will have. That's a promise. You will have many trials. You will have many sorrows. That's a promise. That's just the way it's going to be here on earth. You're going to have trials. There's going to be sorrows. There's going to be curveballs. There's going to be difficult times. That's the world that we live in, okay? And the reason why, gang, is because we live on a broken planet. You need to understand, we live on a broken planet. Nothing works perfectly here on planet Earth. I want to let you know, the economy doesn't work perfectly. Amen? How many people know your career doesn't work perfectly? You had this plan of what your career was going to look like, and you're like, wow, that didn't happen. Why? Because life is broken on this planet. How many people know relationships don't work perfectly? Can anybody testify of that this morning? Even marriage, as beautiful as it is and as blessed as I am, how many people know marriage doesn't work perfectly? Here's another thing that doesn't work perfectly, your plans. Your plans aren't going to work perfectly, okay? How many people remember sitting at the beginning of January or the beginning of 2020, sitting in January thinking, oh, this is what I'm going to do this year. It's going to look like this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do these things. How many people know this year has taught us that we live in an imperfect world? Amen. It's taught us that even our plans aren't going to work out exactly the way we thought. I think of our youngest son. He began the year where? In Miami, Florida. He's ending the year where? In River Falls, Wisconsin. How many people know our plans, they're not perfect? Why? Because we live in a broken world. And this is all the result of sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, catastrophe took place. And everything that was perfect was now broken because that's the power and the consequences of sin. And all these things take place, these real things, these curveballs. And folks, that's why we need hope in 2020 on this journey we call life, okay? So that's why we need hope. Now let's look at, this is a super important question. What is hope? What is hope? Well, I want to begin by explaining what hope is not. Because a lot of times I gain greater understanding when I hear what something's not. So what is hope? I want to let you know, first of all, hope is not optimism. It's not optimism. See, optimism is psychological. Hope is theological. See, optimism is often the denial of reality. It's often this Pollyanna attitude that, hey, the sun will come out tomorrow, okay? You've heard the song, okay? See, optimism at times can be a false hope. It can tell you that things are going to be great when maybe things aren't going to be great. Or it could be this message that, hey, everything's okay, when in reality, things aren't okay. Are you hearing me this morning? And don't get me wrong, I would rather hang out with a bunch of optimistic people than pessimistic people, amen, wouldn't you? And I would rather be an optimistic person myself, but we need to understand that optimism is not the same thing as hope. See, there's much, much more to hope. So what is hope? Well, the Bible touches on there's three different types of hope, and I want to look at these real quick. Three different types of hope. Why do we need hope? Where did we get lost here? Let's catch up. Okay, why do we need hope? We went through that. Is everybody convinced why we need hope? Now, what is hope? Everybody together. Hope is not, where did this go wrong? Anyway, three types of hope. I was hoping everything would work out. I was very optimistic when I got up here this morning, but lesson learned, okay? Here we go. That was all part of the message, by the way. It worked out perfectly. I'm lying, by the way, okay? Pastors lie? Well, every once in a decade, okay? And there's mine for this year. Let's move on. Three types of hope. Three types of hope. First, there's wishful hope. Wishful hope. This is what most people mean when they use the word hope. This is what they're referring to, wishful hope. And really, wishful hope is, we could call it false hope. It's wishful thinking. For example, I hope I win the lottery. How many people know that's wishful hope? That's wishful thinking. I hope I win the lottery so that one day Heather and I can move out west and we can live in the shadows of a mountain where there's a running stream of water next to the house. And right down the street, there's a village just like you see in the Hallmark Christmas movies. I mean, I just shut my eyes and I hope that someday I'm going to win the lottery so this can happen. I want to let you know my chances of getting struck by lightning are greater than winning the lottery. I actually read somebody this week said, your chances of walking on the surface of the moon are greater than winning the lottery. I'm not sure about that one, but it sounded good, okay? See, but here's what I want you to see. You can't build your life on wishful hope. Because real storms come. And you can't just build your life on this wishful hope because you're going to be disappointed. Let's look at the second type of hope. It's called expectant hope. This is the type of hope that's, we can say it's a little stronger. It's actually a bit stronger. With expecting hope, there's some basis, we'll call it a basis of reality. For example, say for the next month, I'm very diligent about watching what I eat, which you can tell that hasn't been happening, okay? What if I say for the next month, I watch what I eat and I'm gonna work out, I'm gonna exercise every day, and then I do this for a month, and then right before I step on the scale, I say to myself, I hope I lost 10 pounds. I hope I lost 10 pounds. I can have that expectant hope because here's what happened. I did something to believe that. I did something to bring that hope. But how many people know that even then, I may be surprised? Because this is reality. This has happened to me several times. I was really good for a week or two. I exercised. I ate right. I said, okay, I'm going to jump on the scale. I hope I lost 10 pounds. And then I jumped on the scale, and it says, you lost 2.3 pounds. How many people have ever been there before? It's like, ooh, it takes the air right out of your lungs. And what can happen with expectant hope is you may be surprised. You may even be disappointed. Yes, you did your part. And it could be bigger than losing weight. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something really big, and you thought this was going to work out, and you had plans, and you expected, and you did your part, and it just didn't happen. By the way, do you know what the result is when what you hope for doesn't happen? Because the Bible gives us the result, what's going to happen when what you hope for doesn't happen. It says right here in Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred makes a heart sick. Meaning when the thing you hope for, when the thing you wanted to see happen doesn't happen, what happens? We get disappointed. We're like, oh, I can't believe it. I thought for sure you had this expectant hope. You just thought for sure you did everything you could do, but it just didn't happen. And the Bible says when that happens, hope deferred. When the thing you hope for doesn't happen, you get sick in your heart. And gang, that's why we need this next type of hope. This is the hope that we should have as believers. This is the hope that Simeon had when we read scripture. And that is called this hope of, it's called certain hope. See, this is the Christian, this is the hope, like I just said, that Christians can have, we should have, that God wants us to have. This is the type of hope that Simeon had. And it's actually talked about in a great book of the Bible called Hebrews. Chapter 6, verse 19. I want to look at the verse quickly. Hebrews 6, 19 says, the certain hope of being saved is strong. It's trustworthy. It's an anchor for your soul. So here in this one verse, we see three characteristics of what we call certain hope. And that is that certain hope is strong, meaning it's solid. It's sturdy, it's firm, it's stable, it's unchanging, it's not weak hope. The second thing we see, we're told that it's trustworthy. That word means it's dependable, it's reliable, meaning you can bet your bottom dollar, you can bet your life on certain hope. And then the third characteristic of hope that we see in this verse, we see that this hope is an anchor. It's an anchor for our souls. Have you ever taken the time to think, what is an anchor all about? What is an anchor for? I mean, we see anchors. They're on a boat. They're on a ship. But what are anchors really for? And I'm going to tell you what an anchor is for. An anchor is to keep the boat from drifting. Because often if you don't throw down your anchor, you can drift into a very dangerous place. If you don't throw down your anchor, you can end up in a place that you never intended to go. And I think that's what we're seeing in America today. We're seeing a lot of people who don't have an anchor. And because of that, when the storms come, they're being drifting. They're drifting places they never thought they would go. And they're ending up places they never thought they would end up. Why? Because storms are real, gang. And we need an anchor that we can throw over in our life that will be steady and that will be firm, that we can make sure that we're not drifting, we're not going places, we're not listening to what everybody else has to say. We're firm, we're rooted in the promises of God. So what is hope? Hope is our anchor, which leads me to this third question, and that is, as we wrap up, where do we get certain hope? I mean, here we are in November 2020. Where can you and I get certain hope even in the midst of this year, 2020? Well, before I answer this question, I want to point out that so many people in our country today are hopeless. And the reason why they're hopeless is because they're putting their hope in all the wrong things. And I want to make sure we're not putting our hope in the wrong things. Because if we're not careful, we can begin to put our hope in things like success. That if I reach this place and I'm successful, I have hope. Or we can put our hope in our status. We can put our hope in our salary. If I ever become that six-figure person, that six-figure guy, man, that will give me great hope. Or we can put it in position saying, if I ever reach this certain plateau, this certain position in life, that will give me hope. Or, I mean, it's silly. We can even put our hope in our possessions. Oh, that one thing, those things, that will bring me hope. And there's even people today, they're putting their hope in a bottle. And that's a very sad place to be. There's people putting their hope in what we call medicine and drugs. And those aren't very good because all those things can be shaken. Are you hearing me this morning? When we put our hope in those things, they can be shaken. So the question is, where can we get what we call this certain hope? Where can we get this hope that is called the anchor of our soul? And today we're going to look at a verse in Psalms 43, verse 5. And the writer of this verse is a guy named King David. And when King David writes this verse, he's in a very dark place. See, David was a guy who had a lot of great highs, but he also had a lot of great lows because he lived in a broken world just like us. And in the midst of one of his most broken times in his life, David begins to pen this verse in Psalms 43, verse 5. And he begins this verse by asking himself a couple questions. First of all, he asks this question, why am I so discouraged? Have you ever been there before? You just ask yourself, man, why am I discouraged? And then David goes on to ask a second question. He says, why is my heart so sad? This is King David, the man after God's own heart. He says, why am I discouraged? What's going on in me? Why is my heart so sad? And David goes on, and I think right about this time, he begins to change his focus. And he begins to change his focus from his storms. And now he begins to put his focus on the right thing. He says these words. He says, I will put my hope in God. Then he concludes by saying, I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Did you catch how David responded to his moment, his crisis of discouragement and heartache? He declared that he was going to put his hope where? He's going to put his hope in God, who is his Savior. And he goes on to tell that a big part of putting his hope in God is, I'm going to put my hope, and a big part of us putting our hope in God is putting our hope in his promises. How many people realize that There's over 7,000 plus promises in Scripture that are given to us. And I want to let you know, you can choose whatever promise you need in your life for such a time as today. What is it that you're being challenged with? What is your storm today? I want to let you know, you can put your hope in God. You can stand firm on the promises that He gives us. Maybe you feel like you're abandoned. God gives us a promise that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Maybe right now your storm is financial. You can stand on the promise that I'll meet all of your needs according to His great riches and glory. See, folks, whatever you need, you can put your hope, whatever your storm is today. Maybe it was your plans are just top, they've just been turned upside down. And your world's been turned upside down. I want to let you know, like David, you can put your hope in God. You can stand firm in the promises that He gives us. So as we close today, I want to ask you this question, because this question is really big. I think every American today needs this question. And that question is, have you put your hope in God? So I just want you to stop and think right now. Have you put your hope in God? Or are you finding yourself putting hope in all those different things that we just talked about a few minutes ago? So I want you just to think right now in your own heart, in your head. I want you to ask yourself this question, just between you and God. Have I put my hope in God? Have I put my hope in the one who is firm? Have I put my hope in the one that the Scripture says heaven is His throne? In this earth we live on, how many people know this is simply just His footstool? Amen? Have you put your hope in God? And I want to let you know, if you say no, that I haven't put my hope in God, this is what you can expect when the storms come. You can expect your ship, your life, to go down into a place where maybe you can't be recovered. But I want to let you know, if your answer is yes, I put my hope in God, this is what you can expect when the storms come. Yeah, the lightning's there, the waves are there, the rain's there, but you know what? You're on top of the surface, you're moving forward, your anchor's down, everything may not be going great around you, but you know you're in a safe place. Why? Because your anchor's down. Why? Because you put your hope in God. So I want you to bow your heads this morning. And I need to ask you again, have you put your hope in God? You say, Mike, what can I do to put my hope in God? What are some of the steps I can take to put my hope in God? I want to say first and foremost, and the most important, is put your faith in His Son, Jesus. Amen? Is put your faith in His Son, Jesus. And at Journey Church, we say there's three phrases that we like to use around Journey Church, three phrases that say, hey, this is how we can put our faith in Jesus. And here they are on the screen as we begin by saying we're sorry. We come and we say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry that I've missed the mark. I'm sorry that I've done things that aren't pleasing to You, Lord. I'm sorry. And God, I want to come to You. And we call this in Scripture, we call this repentance. And then step number two is we say, God, thank You. What are we thanking God for? We're thankful to God that He sent His Son, Jesus. And He sent His Son Jesus to come into this world for one reason, to go to the cross. And it was there at the cross that Jesus would die for our sins. He would pay the payment for our sins. Why? That through His sacrifice, you and I can have peace with God. And number three, we're asking people, have you ever said, please, please, Lord, be with me. Yes, I've asked You into my heart. Now, please be with me as I continue on this journey through these storms of life. Lord, don't leave me, but please be with me through every storm, through every challenge, through every curveball. God, please be with me in all that I face. Please be with me as we go into December, which may be a very turbulent month. Lord, please be with us. Please be with me. And if you've never said these three words, I want to invite you to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Father, thank You for Your sacrifice. Thank You for Jesus. And Lord, please be with me. And Lord, we just ask God that You would be with us as a church. I pray that we would be people that we're not walking through this life hopeless. We're not walking through life with this Pollyanna attitude. But God, we're walking through hope, believing with certain hope that God, you are our firm foundation, that you are our anchor. And Father, I pray that your Spirit would speak to everyone in this room this morning, online this morning. God, I pray that you'd speak to people, that they would know, Lord, that you are there. You are there for them in the storms that they're going through, that there is hope. And that hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And we just thank you for that today. Lord, I'm just so thankful that whatever we go through, we can stand up and we can be victorious and we can be a victor because of who you are, not because of who we are, but all because of who you are and what you've done for us. And we just thank you for that today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen.